You're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. I'm Leora Zeitlin. This is Intermezzo. It's my great pleasure to invite into our studios Philippe Quint, violinist who will be the soloist this weekend with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra in a pair of concerts, Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday at 3, performing music of Astor Piazzolla. Welcome, Philippe Quint.
Great to be here.
Let's start a little bit first, before we talk about Astor Piazzolla, with your musical background. When did you start playing violin? You're now playing everywhere, and you have multiple CDs. You've won some Grammys, and both a concert artist.
I've lost some Grammys.
And you've lost some Grammys,
yeah.
Too. I guess it happens both ways. And you're a violinist who plays not just the classical repertoire, but you also play jazz. You have do you still have the Quint Quintet playing music of Argentina and chamber music, of course. So how did it all start?
It all started when I was 4 years old, and I was living with my grandparents, and they had a dream of creating a family trio, because my mother played the piano and my uncle played the cello, that's her brother. So naturally, I was about to become a violinist, you know. And the dream never took place for them. My mother went on to become one of the most celebrated popular music composers. My uncle still plays the cello. And I'm the one that really pursued solo career as a profession in my family. So three of us never got together.
Where did you study?
I studied first in St. Petersburg.
Where
Leningrad,
you're from?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then at the age of 12, I auditioned to a special Moscow school for gifted children. I think that was the name, kind of equivalent of Curtis, a very exclusive school. And at the age of 13, I started my Moscow journey for about 5-6 years before I immigrated to the States in 91 to study at Juilliard with Dorothy DeLay.
So did you know from a very young age this was what you wanted to do as a four-year-old? Or when did it become clear this is my life?
Quite the opposite.
Okay.
I had dreams of of becoming a chess player. I think I showed a lot of promise, as probably quite a few Russian kids, as a chess player. But then I think I wanted to become a soccer player. And then there was a cosmonaut dream, you know, because of, again, Soviet Union at that time, you know, first man on the moon, you know. And I think my dreams had to do with the trends of the time rather than, you know, something that I seriously wanted to pursue.
Yeah.
And I think it was very smart on the part of my grandparents to really push me into music and push me into studying the violin. But I'll be honest, I'm the first one to confess that until the age 13, I did not envision my life as a professional musician or violinist. So it wasn't until the break point when I got into the, you know, the special school in Moscow that I thought to myself, you know, like, this is something that I want to do. So it was not a beautiful, smooth journey of falling in love with the music and violin and immediately, you know, embarking on a life full of joy. Circumstance.
But even then, when you got to Moscow, this is not an easy life to be a violinist. It's a very difficult instrument. You can never stop practicing if you want to keep it up. So there still must have been something that just spurred you, that there must have been moments where this was touching you deeply, or you would have given it up, no?
As I mentioned, at the age of 13, the difference was...
in your teenage years. In other words, after you went to Moscow.
After I went to Moscow.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to Moscow for just one second, because what was the change is the environment. Suddenly, I was with the kids that were doing the same thing, and they loved it, and it was very competitive. And this was a perfect ground for me to start developing in a particular path. And that, of course, continued when I went to Juilliard. And I think, you know, still, you know, those teenage years is when I did fall in love with the craft, and I did fall in love with the music, and sometimes it was love and hate also. You know, it was never consistent for me, I have to say. You know, just because you don't always have a chance to explore your craft the way you want to. There are a lot of obstacles on the way, and there are a lot of rejections that we also have to take. You know, this is, I think each road is unique, very individual for how people get to certain places. For me, the road wasn't easy, but I have to say that I had a lot of support. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of encouragement from my teachers, from the people that believed in me when I was just a teenager, before I spoke a word of English. And now you can tell that I can't stop talking. After a certain time, you actually have to make a certain decision. Is this something that you want to do, for much longer? Do you want to dedicate your life to this particular thing? And I did. There was no question about it. As things progressed, as I've become less stubborn and more accepting and wanting to learn and became more curious to expand my horizons in every possible way, just mature as a person and as a musician, and that's something that really paved the way for me to continue. And, suddenly I started winning prizes at competitions. Suddenly I had a recording contract. Suddenly I started, playing concerts in US and abroad. And, as slow as it was, looking back at this journey, I certainly have to say that this was very rewarding, and I'm very grateful to the opportunities that I had in my life. Hmm.
You're going to be playing music of Astor Piazzolla this weekend, the Four Seasons in Buenos Aires, a beautiful, interesting work, which sometimes you hear, you'll hear just a season in an arrangement. One of the four has its roots in Vivaldi, Four Seasons. Tell us a little bit about your interest in Piazzolla, Argentinian music, and this piece in particular.
My journey with Piazzolla started by chance in New York City. I was thrown into this chamber music concert that was inspired by Spanish composers, where in the second half I had to play Piazzolla with a very interesting group of instruments. There was a bandoneon, there was electric guitar, piano, and double bass. So that's a quintet.
And that's usually Astor Piazzolla himself played in such a group with Pablo Ziegler on the violin.
Yes. But it was a quartet to start with.
Okay.
He started as a quartet, but then Piazzolla's added element was electric guitar, mm-hmm. which was a bit groundbreaking for a traditional tango group. And the electric guitar really made me feel this is as close as you get to a rock concert. The feeling that mm-hmm. standing next to electric guitars is something else. And I just immediately, upon finishing this concert, I said, I have to do it on regular basis. Mm. And then I started Googling, bandoneon, New York, electric guitar, New York. And within a month, I'd say, I came across, of course, many, many talented Argentine musicians. Some of them have worked with Piazzolla himself. So I started working on putting together some concerts for us and formed eventually a group that was called Quintet. I'm lucky to have this sort of a name mm-hmm. that works for this particular formation. And so it's been maybe 7 years. It's not a big part of my season, but it's certainly something that, sort of a for my heart project. I put it this way. And, you know, we get together maybe 2-3 times a year. And I think I've been here in Las Cruces with this group.
With the El Paso
Pro Musica and in Las Cruces as well. And the concerts that we're doing this weekend are slightly different because this is an arrangement of a Russian composer, Leonid Desetnik. I think Russians have great affinity for Piazzolla. I don't know why, but it's always been the case. So Leonid Desetnik have arranged this especially for the great violinist Gidon Kremer, one of my idols. And I think Kremer's recording was the very first of this particular arrangement. And now, I mean, it's been picked up just all over the world. Everybody plays this arrangement.
Well, and Kremer, when he recorded it, he recorded the Vivaldi Four Seasons and the Piazzolla together.
Exactly.
So you would hear them.
And he called it Eight Seasons. And actually, Eight Seasons is something that I'm doing in 10 days in Peru.
Because wonderful.
Right from here, I go to South America. But going back to this particular arrangement, it's very interesting. The parts are very very creatively organized, you know, for the orchestra. So I think the audience will be very enthralled hearing this particular arrangement. And I've been just really enjoying. We had a wonderful rehearsal yesterday with Lonnie Klein and the orchestra. And, you know, coming here is really, it's almost a home away from home. You know, I know pretty much everybody, and there's a lot of people that have been writing, you know, that I'm so excited about this concert. And I think there's a big tango community here as well. I mean, I've met a lot of people.
Yeah, there's actually a couple of groups that have tango lessons. They do Argentine tango lessons. Yeah. So tell us just very briefly, for somebody who's never heard the work, what's the relationship of Vivaldi's Four Seasons in this work, Four Seasons in Buenos Aires?
You know, when...
Because you hear it. Every once in a while, you'll hear something. It's like, oh, there's Vivaldi.
Piazzolla uses quotes of Vivaldi in all Four Seasons. And you know, because of the difference of how the seasons work in Argentina, you know, it's backwards.
Right, it's
backwards.
Winter is summer.
Yeah,
summer
exactly.
is winter.
So Vivaldi's seasons begin from spring, and Piazzolla's seasons begin from summer. And then it finishes with spring. Yeah. So it's very interesting. Of course, it's really great to pair them together, but this time we're only hearing Piazzolla's four seasons. And I just want to mention that Piazzolla had such an interesting journey himself, growing up in Argentina and studying sort of Argentine folk music and Argentine tango music from very early age, playing in nightclubs. But he immediately had great interest for classical music, so he started taking lessons with some of the great composers in Argentina. But even those composers were greatly influenced by French music at the time. So his style immediately became something that you would never recognize would be Piazzolla. In fact, I digged one of his first compositions, which was a Preludio No. 1 for violin and piano, and I played it at a concert, and I asked people to guess
who wrote it,
and I had many guesses, but none of them was Piazzolla. So when he went to that was a transformation of Piazzolla. He really, I think, owes it to Nadia Boulanger when he went to Paris to take a few lessons with her and played his composition, and she said, "What is this?
Yeah.
You know, this is lovely, but it sounds like Debussy, it sounds like Fauré, Franck, Ravel. Where is Piazzolla?"
Yeah.
And then she made him play his compositions, his own for bandoneon, and he said, and she said, "Go back to Argentina and develop your style." And so his implementation of Vivaldi is no surprise, because if you study a lot of his works, which I have now, there is Bach all over the place. You know, his knowledge of counterpoint that he implemented is really incredible. And another, I think, fascinating factor, you know, especially when you do Vivaldi Piazzolla back to back, is that the execution of this music is also very similar. Purely from a technical standpoint, the kind of strokes that we have, the vibrato that we use, the expression that we use, I've noticed that I make the same comments during rehearsals to musicians in terms of the effects that we use. And also, I'm very grateful to the musicians in my quintet that have taught me about the style. And it's very interesting because the two composers that are actually most controversial during rehearsals and during discussions would be Piazzolla and Bach, because everyone thinks, and everyone has two cents to say about both, that it has to be this way and not this way. I've had cordial, friendly discussions, debates about, mm-hmm. How it should be. And, sometimes it goes nowhere.
We could have a whole much longer conversation on musicians who insist that it must be one way and not another. But it's interesting because Lonnie Klein also paired with this Astor Piazzolla piece that has its roots in Vivaldi and Baroque music, Bachianas Brasileiras of Villa-Lobos,
right,
which is also has Bach in it and Brazilian influences. So yeah, it's a really interesting combination this weekend of Baroque and different Latin American traditions. Philippe Quint has been my guest today on Intermezzo. Tomorrow night is the concert, Saturday night at 7:30 and Sunday at 3, performing Four Seasons in Buenos Aires by Astor Piazzolla. Next up is Peru, did you say? That's
next up is Bogota, Colombia, okay. And then Peru.
Well, wonderful to have you back in Las Cruces, and best of luck with the concert. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.